And Father, we do thank you just for your presence. I thank you for these men and women that you've drawn here, that all of us are here for a purpose. You have something you want to say. And we pray in Jesus' name that your Spirit would have freedom to move in each one of our hearts the way you want him to. Take all the cares of this world and remove them. Take all the frustrations and the worries, remove them, and let your love just cover a multitude of sin. Bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I always, when I'm even alone or I'm in church, I love to take notes. I want to encourage you in the next few Wednesday nights as we're together, take notes. And I have hundreds of notepads and notebooks from many, many decades of reading the Bible and listening to messages and preparing messages. And it's unique to go back and read something from 5 years ago and say, man, I've grown. Oh, I remember when I learned that, but I didn't know it. It's just cool to take notes. I'm going to make one statement, ask one question, and look for a response. Let me repeat that again. I'm going to make one statement, ask a question, and look for a response. You ready? My statement is, I'm a man that is in your presence, that has a purpose and a reason for being in your life right now. That's the statement. Here's the question. Did you hear what I just said? Here's the response. If you did, raise your hand. Not all of you heard it. Okay. Just give me an idea who's ready to roll. The book of Revelation is a very special book. It's the only one in the Bible like it. And I've taught it many, many times around the world, in fact, and from China to you name it, all the way to Romo Land. And in reading and studying just the hours of chapter 1, I saw things I'd never seen in many years of knowing this book. And then I began seeing you. And my purpose of being here is you. The reason I'm here is that the Lord wants to do something very special with you. And so part of my gift to the body of Christ is to get to know you, if nothing more than just standing in front of you and getting to know you by looking at you and seeing how you respond to the things of the Spirit, but also after and before gathering. And I can foresee that in the next few weeks, it'll be standing room only. And I can see that you're going to go out and we're going to touch this immediate neighborhood and we're going to do outreaches. And I can see that you're going to be on fire like you've never been on fire before. That's the reason I'm here. And God's purpose is you. And so I realize Pastor Jerry is the pastor. I'm his friend. And so I don't want to trod in anybody's feet or bump into you. I'm submitted to your pastor like you are. But I'm here to share that God is looking for you to respond to him. And it's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. So Lord, here we are together after all these weeks of praying. And as we're here, we can do nothing, but we're asking you to do everything. I'd like to pray for all those that are sick or have an illness or a cold or a sore throat. They have anything the matter with them, that you would heal them during these studies. Pray, Lord, that some of their friends will come with them and give their hearts to Jesus. Pray that you'll just blow all of our minds with the miracles you want to work, the love you want to give, and the things that you have prepared for each of our lives. And especially as a body, of what we can be a bright light, probably at the darkest time in the history of America. And we want to be used. Many of us feel useless or worthless, but I know that's not true. You paid a tremendous price for each of us. You gave your Son so that we would not have to die if we'd repent of our sins. And so, Lord, take these beautiful men and women, take them away from their cells, let them open their hearts, and you step in and change us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. This first chapter of Revelation is the opening. And the Revelation is divided up into sections. And so the first is the introduction. It's very simple, very obvious. But there are some insights into it that we'd like to point out to you. There's only 20 verses in this chapter. Most people hear about the book of Revelation and they're waiting for the 100 to 200 pound hailstones that are going to start falling out of the sky. They're looking for all the gruesome stuff, you know, a mountain coming from outer space and crushing into the earth, and wars all over the place and all that. I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for Jesus in the midst of that. But it's bigger than a revelation of Jesus in the tribulation period. It's Jesus Christ in the church period. It's Jesus Christ right now. He's right here in this room with us. So I want you to, maybe what I could help teach is how to see Jesus wherever you are. I'm just finishing a series of teaching chapter and verse on the Calvary Radio Network in the Midwest. And all the times I've taught this, I had never seen some of the things I've seen. One of them is the number of people and places that are mentioned almost in every chapter. For instance, in chapter 21 or 22, in the first six verses, there's like 10 places and people. And I never saw that before. And so I started tracking it. We're almost finished with the book. And knowing this, whenever the Lord wants to use me, I can feel the anticipation, but the devil wants to destroy me. And you don't want to go backwards. You want to keep going forwards. You're in a battle. So put on the whole armor of God. The minute you get out of bed, put on the whole armor of God, not just part of it. You can walk around in your BVDs or your pajama bottoms and tops, that's okay, but you got to get into the battle that's going on day and night. And the devil is going to throw things at you, starting tonight, that you have never had thrown curveballs at you before. But just know, that's a sign that God is going to do something really unique in your heart, your life, and in your family, in your friendships. He's going to just show you things you wouldn't believe. And if we're here a year from now, you won't believe it's you. You'll have changed so much. Are you up for that? Okay, I'm going to ask the question one more time. Well, first I'll make the statement. I'm a man that's standing in your presence that has purpose and reason. The question is, did you hear what I just said? Yes. The response is, raise your hand. Okay, now more of you understand. All right. My purpose is God's purpose. My reason is God's reason, because I live for Him. And it's to help you. And He wants, I just know, there's a lot of people praying for us, that He loves you. And He wants to take you and do something He's not done with another group of people. And He's going to use you, but the devil's going to try to destroy you. So don't fall for the devil's tricks. See God for who He really is in His Son, Jesus. Let Him truly be number one in your life. So in these 20 verses, if you properly read the book of Revelation, you study it, you'll find some spiritual golden nuggets that'll stick with you the rest of your life. For instance, there's this one verse in verse 3 of chapter 1. We can read it together. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Back in the 1970s, we had a project going on of 1 million Bibles into China. And I was invited into China to a high-rise. In fact, three nights. I taught the first three chapters of Revelation, three nights, three different high-rises. And there were so many people in the apartments that there was no room. And so many people were at the door, down the hallway, down or up the stairs, and they would repeat what they heard, and it would go through this high-rise building. I've seen this happen before in places. But the wonderful thing about this is it took three languages to speak to that audience. And I know one was Mandarin, Cantonese, and Mandarin, Cantonese, English. So there, that was the basic three. There were some other dialects. So I stood there, and I listened as I read to the Chinese translations. And I remembered when I got to this, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. It's at hand. So I got a blessing for reading it, and then I got a blessing from hearing it and from hearing it again. And I heard it in English after I read it. So I got four blessings, but everybody else only got one. I'm sorry, but I was okay. I took all the blessings I could get. All right, now it's unique. This is the last book of the Bible, and it comes right out and tells you you'll be blessed. But you have to do something to get that blessing, he said. If you will hear it, you will read it, and you will keep the things that are written in it. So now you have responsibility. You can't just pick it up and look at it and read it and not do anything. So I hope your heart gets so broken that you cry out to God to use you to go get the people that are headed towards the great tribulation, and that they could be spared and find eternal life in Jesus Christ. That you should get your eyes off yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus, and quit living inside of your head. That you will hear and be focused all day long that Jesus is number one in your life. So no other Bible text has this blessing, but I noticed, as I was studying this time, it dawned on me in the last book of the Old Testament, this is the last book of the New Testament, if you'll turn there to Malachi, it's just before Matthew. It's the very last book in the Old Testament. Malachi was a prophet, and he had a blessing for us, and I'd like to read that to you. And it's interesting that most people don't even know about this. And they don't know about the blessing in Revelation either. Now, maybe they've read it, but they really didn't hear it. Yet from the fathers, the days of your fathers, chapter 3, verse 7, you have gone away from my laws. You have not kept them. So return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? They don't even know why they need to return. And God says in verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, see, we always have, when we're carnal, we always have a question to answer a question. And that's, if you've ever been a police officer, you know that's how it starts out until you put the cuffs on the person. A person says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do this. All right, you got some room. But when people start asking you the questions, when you're the paid question man, you know there's a problem. It's probably a liar that's talking to you. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Oh. You are cursed with a curse. That's not a blessing. But you have robbed me, even the entire nation. Otherwise, the budget has been turned from anything that would help people but to destroy them. War. Says the host, the Lord of hosts, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord. Now that's a great promise. If I bring the tithes in, and a tithe is basically a tenth, but you don't have to just give a tenth. I know of a billionaire that gives 90% and lives on 10%. And he gave the 90% of his money before he is a billionaire, and before he is a hundred and some odd million, before he's even a millionaire. He said, Lord, if you'll honor this and take care of my family, I'll give you 90 and I'll take 10. I won't give you 10 and keep 90. And so he's now the owner of the second largest company of its kind on the entire planet. But he's a godly man, very godly man. If you say, well, I haven't got extra money to give to the poor. I haven't got extra money to give to the church. I haven't got extra money to help you turn for Christ. I haven't got extra money. But do you have any money? Well, yeah, I got a buck. Well, here, I'll give you 90 cents. You want to put 10 cents in the bag? It's never nothing. It's always something. Chuck Smith taught a friend of mine, pastor, many, many years ago. We were interns together. And his wife was sitting next to Chuck. I think her husband was up speaking. And I was sitting on the other side of Chuck. And an offering bag came by. And she passed it to Chuck. And he took her hand and stopped it. And he handed her a couple of dollars. And he said, don't ever let an offering go by for the Lord. You're robbing him. Let him bless you for giving. And I heard her tell that story and I said, wow. And for 53 years, I've lived like that, understanding that I don't care if there's nothing permanent that is going to happen. I can guarantee you, in 56 years, my wife and I have never gone without anything. Our 6 children and 32 grandchildren have never missed a meal. He always provides, and sometimes extravagantly. And that's embarrassing when he does that, but it's cool. So I don't know what your background is or where you are with money. I don't make money an issue, but I just want to tell you, don't rob God. He promises a blessing. Test me. The only place in the Bible he says, test me, try me, prove me, and see if I won't open the windows of heaven. Just imagine, forget the government and its issues. It just got over a $1 trillion budget. Do you know there's not a generation that could ever pay off $1 trillion? But we've already spent several trillion in the last 2 years. Huh? There's no way. We're gone as a nation. There's no way it'll ever be paid off. So I'd rather live under God's economy. And he just says, if you want to give, don't give 10%. Give a penny out of a dollar. But why? And you think that he can take what you give, break it, and a few loaves and a couple of fishes from a little boy with faith could feed 10 or 15,000 people on a mountainside. That's the kind of investments you'll get rewarded for in heaven. So have that kind of faith. So I find it interesting, the last book of the Old Testament, the last book of the New Testament, both have special blessings to the people that will listen. The last book of the New Testament tells us there's a blessing for being in the Word. So find it interesting that the Old Testament has one. Find a blessing in God. We must heed the blessings of God. And many of us have the same backgrounds. Broken homes, broken families, broken bodies, broken minds, broken hearts. And yet, God comes into our life and we know there's a difference. And yet, do we let our light so shine that men see our good works and give glory to God for the change in our lives? Or do we keep closed off and put a fence around us that only a few people can open the gate and get up close to us of who we are? Or do we die to ourselves? And do we become open and honest people with nothing to hide? No lies to tell? No story for this group of people and another story for this group of people? None of that. We're free. Whom the Son says free is free indeed. Do you realize you're free tonight? There's nothing against you. You're not going to go to hell. The price has been paid. The blessings belong to you. God has already given them. So live in them and share them. So in Deuteronomy, the blessings of God come to us from the Old Testament in a verse of chapter 11, verse 26. Deuteronomy, it's in the Old Testament. It's right after Numbers, and it's chapter 11. And I'll read it to you if you don't want to turn there. Just take a second. Chapter 11 is verse 26, 27, and 28. And this is it. So from the very beginning that freedom came and they were released from bondage and they were released out of Egypt, it's like us being released from bondage. It's us being released from an abusive relationship. It's us from being released from our sin. God wants to build us, and he wants to give us something that we can have. He gives us the word, and it gets inside of us. It fills our mind. It guides our heart. It becomes a light in the dark areas of life and in this world, and we can see paths that other people don't see. We can keep out of trouble. And you've been set free, but most people don't know when they've been set free. It's okay to run. It's okay to jump. It's okay to go, hallelujah. It's okay, praise the Lord. It's okay to hug strangers. It's okay to be kind to people. It's okay. It's everything's okay because you're a new creature in Christ. All the old things are passed away. All your fears, all your doubts. God hasn't given us the spirit of fear. But listen what he says here in the early days to Israel. He says, in your days and the days of your children, verse 21, Moses speaking, God talking to the people, days of your children may be multiplied in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give them, like the days of the heavens above the earth. For if you carefully keep all the commandments which I command you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all these nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Now, I had brain damage from drugs in the 60s, and it took 2 years for the doctors to get me to believe I was alive. I mean, I was pretty far gone. And I was a high school dropout, and I felt like a loser most of my life. Didn't ever know my dad. He was an alcoholic abuser kind of guy, so you know what that breeds. And I was a smart aleck, and I pushed the envelope, and I was a rebel. And I was worth nothing, actually. In my ego, I was worth everything. But in reality, I was a loser all the way. And yet, I leave high school. I'm a dad at 16, 17 years old. Can't marry, too young, on and on and on, one mistake after another. Now, this tells me that if I will follow him and his word carefully, he will lead me, he'll guide me, he'll give me greater things than I ever had before. So tell me this, how does a guy that dropped out of high school, that was in a mental hospital, that couldn't really talk for 17 months and communicate to people, how could he end up with 3 earned master's degrees and 3 doctorates and a law degree in a year of law school? And he did all that in his 50s, in his 40s, raising 6 children. I mean, how could that possibly be real? It is. And for 7 years, with a huge church of several thousand people, in an elementary school, in a junior high school, in a high school, in a university, all that going on, making every meeting I had to and speaking every time I had to, I drove for 7 years to L.A. and back. And did all those classes and never missed them. And got straight A's for 7 years in all those graduate degrees. And I told the dean, if you're going to let me in, then I'm not going to settle for anything less than A. And you better tell the professors to not mess with my head and be realistic. Because I know they want to fight and they want to change your thinking. And I know the Bible too well. He said, I'll do that. And he did. I got a B in Greek. I told him it's all Greek to me anyhow. I'm not boasting. I'm just saying I'm an example of the glory of God. If he can do it for somebody like me, there isn't anything he can't do for you or won't do for you. Nothing. 2 years ago at this time, in January 2021, our beautiful, handsome, tall, cool, great kid, grandson, 18 years old, friend gave him a pill, never woke up. Enough, the toxicology report said enough fentanyl to kill 10 full-grown men. He didn't do that on purpose. He didn't have a clue. We're not sure we could ever get out of that. A year ago at this very time, they opened up my chest, took my heart out, and did a quadruple bypass. I had no symptoms of a heart problem. But God said, we better get inside there and fix something because I want to use this guy. And the doctors got in there, and I shouldn't even be standing in front of you right now. I'm telling you something. You don't see what the future holds, but you do know who holds the future. So you better walk carefully and closely and read what he has to say and live by it. And he'll give you way beyond what life can give any other person if you want it. If you want to just sort of slouch around and be Eeyore, go on. I'll take your blessings. I'll multiply them. I'll share them with Jerry and Peggy. Then look what he said. The Lord will drive out all these nations. He's going to every place, verse 24, on which the sole of your foot treads shall be yours. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river, he gives him boundaries for his life. River Euphrates to the western seas shall be your territory. Now I know that I'm called from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the world. And that's San Diego for Jerusalem. Judea is the county. Samaria is the U.S. and its territories and the rest of the world. I can go anywhere in the world at any time and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I've done it because he told me that's my territory. He's given you promises that you're probably not even aware of. And if you'll just believe it, you extrapolate that out and you realize, oh, I can go over here and talk to that. Yeah, you'll believe when you start seeing people. It's easy to talk to somebody on the street corner who's down and out. But to talk to the President of the United States or the head of the Senate or the governor or, and you can point all over, a movie star or somebody that's untouchable, the Lord can open any door. There isn't anybody that's untouchable. If you are called by him, you can go places that no man could get. Amen. And I've been places where I shouldn't have got. And the Lord did what he wanted. No man shall be able to stand against you. The Lord your God will put the dread of you and the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. Now some of you men, coming from an abusive family situation and poverty, and knowing who's who in your neighborhood, and you don't walk on that side of the street when they walk this way, and you stop and you maybe hide behind a tree, or you're going to really go at it, your body gets bigger, and then you're more angry, and you're willing to fight anybody at any time, no matter what, because you don't feel it when they hit you. You just have so much inside of you, you don't know what it is. You're so full of anger. You know what? This verse tells me I don't need to be afraid of any man. And I'm not. I'm not a smart aleck to any man, that's for sure. But I know there's nobody can lay a hand on me. But I didn't grow up that way. I was ready to go in a moment's notice with anybody. Two or three of you, okay. I know I'll lose a few teeth and a broken nose and an ear bitten off maybe, but I'm going to hurt two of you really badly. Or I'll die. But I didn't care if I died. What a way to live life, right? Now, are you living it to the fullest tonight? Because if you're not, you can be, and you should be. No man will be able to stand against you. And behold, I set before you this day, this very day, a blessing and a curse. This day. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way which I command you, well, to go after other gods which you have not known, you're in big trouble. So you're going to be blessed. The devil's going to come knocking on your door. Turn the TV off. Get away from whatever it is that's got you trapped. And give your heart. Lord, help me right now. I need your help, Lord. Please, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want those thoughts in my head, Lord. I don't want to remember those people. I don't want any bitterness or anger. I have nothing against anybody. And God will bless you. Now, take it to the New Testament as we move along here in Revelation to this foundation of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Holland just had us singing, blessing him. You are the one. And thank you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not a few of the blessings or some of the blessings or one or two of the blessings, but every spiritual blessing in heaven belongs to you tonight. I want your stand up and read that out loud together. Would you? Let's read that vocally out loud together. Please stand. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 3. Blessed, go ahead, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now listen to what James has to say here. In James chapter 1, verse 21, concerning wrapping up what we've been talking about here. Verse 21, chapter 1, the book of James. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. That means you got what you're listening to, what you're watching, what you're thinking, what you're feeling. And receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Get all the distractions out of your mind. And let the word find deep roots inside of you. That no matter where you are a servant of the Lord. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. But if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself going away and immediately forgets what kind of a man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Those verses right there give you a key to taking hold of the blessings. Be a doer of the word, not just to hear, deceiving yourself. I went to church, so what's your life doing? No. So it is a key for you to be a blessed servant. Pastor David Guzik said on this verse, if we understand the book of Revelation, it will change the way we live. So I'm not jumping into all the fire, hell, and damnation, but preparing you for what God's going to do with you once you get there. How he's going to change this community through us by being concerned and caring. Pastor Chuck Smith said, the revelation was meant to be read in the churches. It refers to itself as a prophecy. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown said the term apocalypse is not implied or conferred on any Old Testament book. Daniel is probably the nearest book that would look like an apocalypse, an unveiling. But what Daniel was told to do is seal up and shut the words until the end times. What John is asked to do is open up, the time is near, and present it to the people. You and I are not closed because of Daniel. You and I are open because of John. And the Lord is going to show you things that Daniel saw, but he couldn't talk about them. We couldn't have handled it. But now, you sit here in a brand new year wondering what it's going to be like. And you wonder, because like in my last 2 years, okay, Lord, what's next? You're going to get me again or what's up? And he doesn't treat us like that. There's nothing to fear. It's all good to make us more like him. He loves you so very much. And he wants to show you the joy of him moving in you and bumping into people and introducing them to heaven. It's a great joy, let me tell you. So that's our foundation. And I'll just read with you now this first chapter. And when we come back next week, we'll all be ready for what God has to pour out upon us in such a special way. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, that's you and me, things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and who keep those things which are written in it. For the time is near. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And he has made us kings and priests in his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. And even they who pierced him, the Jews, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, oh, by the way, every eye is going to behold Jesus when he comes back. You know, no time ever in history is it technologically an ability for the whole planet to see anything. You know that? Now, he can make something happen that the whole world on all four corners can look up and see the same thing. But don't you find it interesting, in our lifetime, this very night, a man named Elon Musk is shooting up thousands of satellites in low orbit around the planet, so there is not one square inch that cannot receive the internet and the videos at the same time around the globe. In our lifetime, in the last year, and Holland, who is leading us tonight, has a friend who worked with Elon Musk, and we talked about that. And do you realize that would allow, when the two witnesses that are in Jerusalem, the Revelation talks about, when they are killed by people trying to stone them, and the Lord raises them from the dead in 3 days, and they ascend up into heaven, and the whole world takes notice of that? Whoa, the technology is there to do it tonight. The Lord's coming back very soon. Are you ready? Okay. I, John, both your brother, now notice both, your brother and companion, wow, in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, I was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God, for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book. Send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and to Laodicea. And then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet, girded with about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were like flame of fire. His feet were the fine brass, as if refined in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. I wonder sometimes if that means all the languages at one time, like a babbling brook, but he speaks and all the languages come out, so everybody hears him one time. I don't know, but I could see that. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength, totally bright and blinding. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, would you say this all out loud, these four words? Do not be afraid. Don't be afraid. The world's going to get darker. It's uglier. It's wicked. I was a reserve police officer in San Diego for 9 years, and for 40 years I've been their chaplain and helped set up the chaplaincy many years ago. And I work with other agencies around the country. I've responded to Oklahoma City bombing. I was underneath the building with the crushed bodies and with the little boys and girls being brought out in the body bags from the daycare center of Oklahoma City. Sandy Hook shooting of the 26 students and school teachers. I had a high clearance from Congress, a resolution that no individual or organization could impede my team's forward progress. While at New York City, we could go anywhere in the city and we could not be stopped. I even have police officers who would be stopped. They would say, I'm with that guy. They would see my ID and say, as long as you stick next to him, you can go in there. I've seen some things that you'd never expect to ever see. I know some things you don't ever expect to know. But I'm going to tell you this. It's going to get darker, uglier, and sicker. It's not going to get better. People are perishing up and down every street here in this neighborhood, in this whole valley, across this whole country. Does that break your heart? Do you know I'm still counseling NYPD 21 years later? Still talking to them. Some have killed themselves. Firefighters have killed themselves. But the ugliness that went on there, we never were told publicly what was taking place there. I still smell the burning flesh when I see the towers on fire on television. It was wicked. Hell was right here in our country. And not one leader called America to our knees to repent of our sins and from turning from God. Does that concern you? It should. Somebody's got to do it. It's going to be you and me. Our lights are going to so shine, people see we're different. Now ask us why we have this hope within us. We're not going to be religious, right-wing, moral majority, conservative, Christian. We're Christian, Christ-like. We walk with him, we talk with him, we live with him, we breathe with him. It's in God and who we move and have our whole being. And once people can see that you're authentic and real, they will weep like babies and thank God that you have come to them. Are you willing? Because I'm willing to be a part of it with you. All right? So, in closing, I am he who lives, verse 18. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives, was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which you have seen, the things which are, the things which will take place after this. The key to the book of Revelation lays right in front of you in verse 19. It's a Greek word, meta, tau, ta. M-E-T-A, T-A-U, T-A. Meta, tau, ta. After these things. That's the key. And this sequence of events, tell them what you saw, what you see, and what's ahead. So in this sequence of metatauta, after these things, you have the whole book of Revelation clearly defined for us. So remember that. Because when we come back, it'll just start popping. Oh, because chapter 2 takes us away from the unveiling and Revelation is the Greek word apocalypse, and apocalypse means to reveal or to unveil. It's like a statue that you can't see the statue, but yet the mayor is in the park, and he's called us all together and wants to show us his statue. And then he pulls the cord, and the cover drops, and it's unveiled, and we see what the statue is. And this is what's happening with Jesus. He's saying to John, I want this to be read in all the churches. So I want you to tell them what you saw, what you see, and what's coming ahead. So you don't want to get stuck on just what's coming ahead or the past, but your life right now for you and me. This guy was in his 90s when he got this revelation of Jesus on the Isle of Patmos, an island 17.9 miles around. The tip of a volcano only 860 feet above sea level. It's 84 degrees in the summertime. The lowest is probably about 57 in February and January, but up into the 80s. And he's a 90-some-year-old man that has nobody to look after him. And he's out in this no place, like, I don't want to say Roma land, but no place. And God can speak to him. And he can speak to you in your trailer, your RV, your apartment, your pup tent, or wherever you are. Let him. If he can take an old guy like that, they say that they would bring him in and he'd come to a church service. He could barely walk. And they put him on a chair, pick him up, set him down. And at 93, 94, he'd look at the crowd and he'd say, "Love one another. Love one another. Love one another." Then they'd pick this old dude up and carry him out. And he'd go back to where he was. He's a man that tradition, early church says, that it might have been Nero, put him in a vat of boiling water to burn him to death. And the Lord spared him and brought him out. And he had fresh skin like a baby. And he lived through that. So they exiled him to this island where perverts were sent and astrologers and witches and anything that was religiously weird. And they put him there with them with nobody to defend him or to feed him. And Jesus walks up to him and says, "Hey, will you help me get a message to the church? You are the messengers. And I'm going to be praying for you. I got a few thousand people that are praying for you right now. And I'm going to ask if you trust the Lord, he'll just bless you." And as this unveils, and next week we parse out each verse, and you see what it means. The next week we'll go in to the letters to the churches. And that's the phase after the unveiling. And then after the churches comes chapter 4 and chapter 5. And that is John going up into heaven. And you never see the church on the earth after chapter 4 and 5. And yet there's people singing, "He has saved us by the blood of the Lamb who has redeemed us." And there's only one group of people that can say that, and that's you and me, the body of Christ. So the church is not seen. Then chapter 6, he opens up the seals to probably the deed to planet Earth that Satan took away and took charge of Earth. And as he pulls those off, the judgments are shown. And then chapter 7 and 8, we start seeing the great tribulation. And it just comes all the way up till then Jesus comes back. But it's all those people. My brother is one of them. And friends I have, they're going to face that. I don't want them to. You know, I should drop dead tonight on the way home. I don't want them to drop dead tomorrow without Jesus. I know where I'm going. I'm not worried about that. Your heart's got to get tender towards people. Being a Christian is all about people, other people, not self, 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 like we've been raised. It's not about us. You already have the answers. Now bring it out and let it blossom in love and joy to bring hope to the people you love. Shall we stand and shall we pray? As we start to worship, I'll say a prayer and lead us in worship. I'd like you to just put your hand on the person in front of you, on their shoulder. Don't feel weird about that. And I'd like you to just be a vessel for the Holy Spirit. Just pray for them that God would baptize them with the Holy Spirit. And baptized means to be immersed into. And when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit, you now are drenched with His love. And God blesses you. And at the same time, then pray the greatest blessings God has for this man or woman would not be held back, that they would be free to receive them. You're millionaires right now. You're billionaires. You're richer than the richest people on the planet. So, Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for introducing us all to one another. We thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And we thank you so much that we can love you back, that you're real. You're not a statue that has ears but can't hear. You're not an icon of some sort that's been carved out of a tree that has eyes but can't see and a mouth that can't speak, let alone a heart that can love like you love. We thank you as we sing this last song. You'd pour out your blessings on your sons and daughters. in Jesus' name.